One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her life in a massive condominium complex had all the modern amenities, but what lurked just beneath the surface was anything but ordinary.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you very much for listening. We really, really appreciate it. And if you have a real ghost story and you want to share it with us, please do. Call 855-853-4802. You can leave us a voicemail or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, that's entirely your decision. You get no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and my sister Kathy's here today.
I am here.
Is life good today?
It is. It's actually very good. It's lots of stuff going on.
I know it. I can't seem to get caught up lately. Well, it's just been very busy.
It has been. You're right. It has been a very busy time. I'm thinking about this condo complex and seemed to be a new complex, but haunted.
Can happen.
You know, we often talk about that. People go, well, you know, I lived in this place, but, you know, it was just built.
Yeah.
You know, it was brand new. I, too, people lived in a brand new house and had things happen there. Remember that things can just be more attached to you, right? Than, you know, you could be there because one of your, you know, somebody's trying to connect with you or, you know, communicate with you. So it doesn't matter what house you're living in. It could be more about you as a person.
And it could be some sort of residual haunting that was there long before you built your house. You know, there could have been, you know, some little log cabin house built nearby in the 1870s. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman who had something tragic happen and now she walks the halls at night or something. And the halls just happen to be where your house is.
Well, I mean, that was kind of a mini scary story you just told me, right? You brought up the walking the halls at night thing, and I was like, oh, okay.
But she doesn't even realize that you're there because she's just, this is what she does.
But don't dismiss something just because you think the build is too new.
Yes, yes.
And we hear that. We get a lot of stories about new build.
And look at the shit you're bringing into your house.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
you might have yourself brought in something that had energy to it, an object that has energy attached to it. They, you know, something might be trying to communicate with you or somebody in your family. You just, you know, there's a lot of reasons for paranormal activity.
Oh my God, yes. So it's like, well, it's new, so nothing happened there, so there can't be any hauntings there, because why? But then, you know, you just don't know what happened before.
That's right.
So let's dive into this one.
Yeah.
And it says, I'm Chrissy. I've had some strange phenomena happen in my life since I was very young. I'm originally from L.A. This is interesting. But for the last 10 years, I've lived in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. That's a change.
Oh, that's a great place to live.
That's a bit of a difference.
But I love it there.
It's a really great town. We talk about it all the time. It is a really great town. Everyone who listens to this show, at some point needs to go to Eureka Springs, do the Crescent Hotel, do some ghost tours, because it is, there's a lot of hauntings in that little town.
I'm going to go out and just on a ledge here and say, I'm going to say there's 100% of that town that's haunted.
Yeah, and she even
says, I don't think you could stay anywhere that's not.
Because she says, which is known for being a haunted town.
It is says very it. Known.
It is. You just feel it. You really, mm-hmm. really do. When you go you down do. To the old, the down, the I don't know if it's downtown,
yeah.
the old towny mm-hmm. center. It's yeah. It's really interesting.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. And so many parks and places. So if you're an outdoors person, you know, you're right on Table Rock Lake. And mm-hmm. so there's all kinds of things to do, all kinds of hiking trails. Now this says, but today I want to share a story from when I lived in a massive condominium complex in Woodland Hills, California, between the ages of 18 and 20. The condo complex was huge, several swimming pools, a sauna, even a guarded front entrance with waterfalls.
Wow.
Basically everything you could want. But one thing that always struck me as odd was the land where the condo was built had been empty for as long as I could remember, just a big plot of vacant land. Then almost overnight, this complex appeared. It was a little too quick, like something strange was at play. At first, everything seemed fine and I enjoyed living there, but over time, things started to get weird. People in the complex started acting strange. One neighbor who seemed like a nice guy ended up threatening to blow up the place, and the cops came out and arrested him. We never heard from him again. At that point, I started feeling uneasy about the place. And not long after, my parents divorced, and I moved to Telluride, Colorado for a year. During that time, my mother moved to a different condo on the other side of the complex. When I came back to LA, I stayed with her for about 6 months, and that's when things really started getting bizarre. There were street lamps lining the walkways of the complex, and I began to notice something strange. We have heard this so many times, you know what I'm going to say. Every time I walked under one, it would go out. And as soon as I stepped between the next lamp and the previous one, it would come back on. When I moved closer to the next one, that one would go out. This happened so consistently that I thought someone was messing with me. One time as a test, I stood under a lamp that had gone out and waited for it to come back on, and it didn't. But as soon as I moved towards the next lamp, it lit up again. There were also these vicious squirrels in the complex. Squirrels are common in Southern California, but these are something else. I saw them chase a toddler once, which I thought was funny at the time until they started chasing me. The squirrels would chase a full-grown person without any fear. Now on to the most bizarre stories from my time at the condo. I'd just been hired at Tower Records, which was a dream job for me as a music lover. I was never a morning person, so I asked my mom to wake me up at 8:30 so I could be to work on time. She woke up around 7, came to wake me up at 8:20. I told her to come back in 10 minutes, so she went downstairs to make coffee. I fell back asleep and had a terrible dream. In the dream, my brothers were chasing me around a giant house with kitchen knives trying to kill me. It's one of those dreams where you're running for your life and you know that if you make one wrong move, you'll be brutally murdered. I woke up, looked at the clock, and saw that it was 9:30. I was furious with my mom and rushed out of the house to get to work. A week later, my mom told me her version of the story. After waking me up, she went downstairs to make coffee, and before it was done brewing, she heard me screaming bloody murder from upstairs. She ran upstairs to see what was wrong, and I was yelling at her for not waking me up, cursing her, and acting completely out of character. In less than 5 minutes, we had lost an hour of time. Oh, so both of them. So she thought she woke her up, and she thought, oh, that's interesting. The final story of the condo involves something really strange that I witnessed. The condo had three stories, the top floor with bedrooms, the middle floor with the living room and kitchen, and the bottom floor with the garage. That sounds like your daughter Kate's place.
Yeah.
In the garage, there was this tiny half door, only about 3 feet tall. Small doors have always freaked me out, so I had never been curious about looking behind it until one day. I was sitting in the house by myself when I had the strong feeling that I needed to go to the garage. I have no idea why, but something was urging me to go down there. I didn't question it, so I went. When I got into the garage, the same feeling pushed me to open the little door. I walked over and opened it. Behind the door was a small space, only a few feet back, but right in front of the wall was a vortex. I can't explain it better than that. It was like a visible wind spinning in front of me, swirling in a vortex. It was the middle of the afternoon, and I wasn't drunk or under the influence in any way. I just stood there for a moment thinking, what the hell is this? Before quickly closing the door and going back upstairs. I never looked behind that door again. Looking back, I wonder if the condo was built on an old Indian burial ground. It would make sense since the land had been empty for so long, and there were many tribes in the San Fernando Valley. I feel like whatever was there before we moved in wasn't happy about the construction. Thanks for reading my story. I have a lot of other strange stories from my time in LA and Eureka Springs that I'll share later. Thanks for all the hard work that you do. So I don't know if Chrissy, it is a weird place, you know, weird things happen. Like the guy, though, who threatened to blow things up could be something connected, but he could have just had a mental break.
I think we would have to acknowledge the fact that in a large complex, and she said it was massive, right? So this is not just 10 condos. This is a bunch.
Yeah, sounds like a lot. Because right? It had several swimming pools, she said.
Right. So this thing is huge. The odds of a person with mental illness moving in are pretty good.
Yeah.
And I don't think we could jump into that story. And I think that story sets a tone, though, for making you nervous about things. You know, when something like that happens, it is very unnerving. It really does. And so maybe kind of after that, things feel more suspect than they did before, just because you're just kind of on edge mm-hmm. about what happened with this guy. I don't honestly think that had any, I would think that he just had something, some mental illness, and that stuff can happen. I don't believe that was attached to anything. Now, squirrels acting weird.
Squirrels do. I have been attacked more than once.
I would say I could agree with that. And if you get to where there's a lot of them and they're together and they, you know, create a squirrel gang, I would assume they could be very hazardous. So I'm not going to jump right to that either. But things together seem to make this, like the man acting weird, the squirrels acting weird, then that just kind of puts you a little bit on edge.
Yeah.
So I understand that. Still, do I think that's paranormal? I don't. The time lapse thing is weird.
It
with
is.
The mom, and,
yes,
you know, and then to have a weird vortex in there.
That okay, now, I can't explain at all.
Now we're on to something,
yeah.
Right? I think there seemed to be something right there, and I just have to take her word for it that Chrissy saw a vortex. I can't explain it. She can't explain it. I don't know, but I would guarantee you that has something to do with this weird time lapse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those feel connected to me. You know, if there's a general unease around the whole complex, maybe it could have been built on something. It's very possible. She's right. You know, there were tribes and native peoples that lived throughout that area. It's definitely something that could have happened. And could something like that just create this kind of unease about the whole place? I suppose it could. But there is some, like, this vortex thing that I can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that paranormal, or is that some sort of intelligent, you know, like alien intelligence?
Oh, I don't like that. I'd rather be paranormal than alien. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, you know, is there something that's, you know, that you could step into that's, you know, you'll end up something? I don't know. Like that one to me is the very strangest part of that whole story. With that said, did she ever ask her mom if her mom saw the vortex?
I kind of think it was just her, because, you know, she had to go to the garage and open the little door and all that.
Like, surely her mom lived in that house. Her mom had opened the little door at some point. Did she ever see anything weird? I just wonder. You know, it just seems like a lot of times we're not talking to the other people around us for fear that they will think less of us.
Okay, so I just Googled this because I was like, that's so weird. And it's and I Googled, like, mini vortex in a house paranormal. So here's a story that popped up. Can a house have a vortex, a paranormal view? So it's like a vortex slash wormhole is often described as a space where spirits travel freely between our world or plane and the other side dimension, but the spirit has no real connection to the vortex's location. It's used as an explanation for haunting that continues, but have changed or been altered from the original reports. Is it a little wormhole to another dimension? I don't know.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, yeah. Could you end up someplace else, you know, because of this thing? Or is it bringing things in? Or it seems to me, and like I said, that this time lapse experience has something to do with this vortex business.
Well, and you know, with
they seem very connected.
Yeah, because there might be some other things around that area other than Indian burial grounds, like the ley lines. There could be some water somewhere nearby. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things that kind of act together to kind of
like conduits.
Yeah. So so because of all that, you know, maybe there's limestone nearby. And so because of all that stuff, maybe it was creating this weird energy where things was happening, like to that one guy, not necessarily paranormal, but could it be just the energy affected him in a way?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was saying. You know, all these things, there could be a weird energy that's making people irritable or reactive, or the squirrels are reactive, or, you know, there could be weird energies that are happening that are creating this, you know, environment that's very anxious. But, you know, could it be that those things have nothing to do with the, you know, you could just have squirrels that are mean. You could just have the guy that has mental illness. But the vortex thing, that is the odd thing here to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the compelling thing.
Yeah, this article says no one knows what makes a vortex happen. But some seem to be located on ley lines. Then it gives a few examples.
Mm-hmm.
It does say, chances are you will, if it's paranormal, chances are you will be able to see it happen in a vortex. From ghostly apparitions to demonic encounters to strange appearances, UFOs,
I'm telling you,
Bigfoot sightings and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It says one of the easiest ways to determine whether you're near a vortex is the energy in your area. Strange vibe you can't fully explain should be reason to wonder what's going on there. So maybe that whole area is just.
And they are talking about a vibe, you know. But if she hasn't already and still has the opportunity, I would talk to my mom about the place.
See what happened, yeah.
See if anything else happened to her.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, 100%.
You know, if it's still possible, I think I would do that.
Well, that was an interesting story. Tony and I were talking the other day. Just when you think you've heard everything, I've never heard a story where someone was drawn to go to the garage, open a little door, and see that. That's the first time I've heard a story quite like that. That's interesting.
There's just so many different things, you know, energies can just take different shapes, you know, and can happen in different ways. So it could be a vortex of some sort that's bringing energies through, or, you know, I don't know.
Well,
is that a way that you could pass through?
Yeah.
You know, do vortexes open up so you can pass through after death? I don't know.
So I don't know. I think that's interesting that she had that experience. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to this call. And I do believe this is Eric from Central Illinois.
Oh, I love him.
Hey, this is Eric from Central Illinois calling. Calling about something that happened this week. So we were in the living room at night. Kid had already gone down. And my partner, she asked me if one of the windows was open in the living room. And I said no, didn't have any of the living room windows open. And then she's like, well, we had the front room window open. And I said, well, I closed that like 30, 40 minutes ago. I go, did you feel a breeze or something? She's like, yeah. She's like, I'm really cold all of a sudden. So I kind of sat there and sat down in the chair and kind of felt something rubbing on my head. And she went back to the bedroom to take a bath, and so I turned the lights off. And earlier in the evening, we had some bananas that were kind of getting ripened, so I put them in a chef's bowl, and it's basically a metal bowl that has a little ring on the side of it or a handle that you can hold it with when you whisk or pour stuff out or whatnot. So I put the bananas in that just in case they started to leak or whatnot, and put it in the middle of the counter. The counter was cleared off. It wasn't like there was moisture or anything on it or anything spilled. So I'm standing in the dark in the middle of the kitchen, try to communicate with this spirit, doing a little meditation. And I feel again, but this time it's like a hand, a very cold hand presses down on my head. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, is this something? Somebody that I know, is it like a passer through, somebody like just stopping by to say hi, did I kind of pick them up when I was at the grocery store earlier in the day kind of thing. And then I hear the bowl like move, like the little ring on the side, it got hit with enough force that the ring clattered against the bowl and almost sounded like it was kind of spinning. It was just clink, 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 and then it just stopped. And then I just felt like a blanket of cold. My back was to the bowl. A blanket of cold on my backside. And just the hairs stood up. And then it just kind of went away. And I tried to use my senses to communicate with it, but it just didn't want to play. So the next night, I had to pick my parents up. They returned from Arizona, so I drove 45 minutes to their program. So my partner was down, and she had fallen asleep in bed. Now, at night that we put it away, and usually I put the cat away in a room because she'll get out and, like, knock stuff off the counter and stuff. Thinking back to the night before, I did put the cat away, so it wasn't the cat that was out. She was put away. So I got home from my parents at like 11. The door to the bedroom where the cat stays at night was closed. I let the dogs out and went to bed. And then when I woke up the next morning, she comes out of the bedroom where the kid sleeps with the cat in her hand. I'm like, oh, you let Magic sleep with you last night with James? And she's like, no, she was put away in the bedroom. And I'm like, well, the door's closed when I came home last night. And she's like, well, she got in the room last night. So how the bedroom door opened up, I don't know. But definitely something kind of weird. Never had that happen before. So thank you all. Hope everyone's well, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Eric. You know, I have heard stories like that before, and it seems like there was one from our life where the dog got shut. You know how those things just pop back in your brain? But like the dog got shut in a room somewhere, and it was like nobody shut the dog. There's no reason the dog should have been in the room.
Well, one time I had a dog named Shiloh.
Oh, yeah. Shiloh got shut in the room.
And we lived in this house, and the downstairs basement had kind of like maybe a quarter of the basement had been kind of sectioned off with the wall. And it had a, and on the other side of the wall, they'd kind of turned it into a little bit of a shop area. So you could, you know, do, I don't know, woodwork or something down there. And it had a big industrial door on it that was very heavy. And it, and you, when you went down to the basement, you pushed that door open and went in, and then you would shut that door, right? So you would have to push it. You wouldn't pull it open. So it, that's the way you would do it. And it was super heavy. This dog maybe weighed, what do you think, 10 pounds, mm-hmm. something. It was a very small dog. And we had gone to work, and we came home, and we couldn't find the dog. And then I think maybe we heard some barking or something. So we go down into the basement. And here is Shiloh shut in the that area, that kind of shop area, with the door. She would have had to open the handle, you know, of the door and go in and then somehow push that door shut behind her. And the light was on, too. You know, at that point, I'm like, OK, no way does this dog open this door, get in, shut the door and turn on the light. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, at that time, it was creepy, but could there have been someone in my house? Maybe. You know, it was more like that, like paranormal, maybe, but also creepy person in the house, maybe. You know, now later we had a situation, we had in that same house, we had some old furniture in the basement where we'd set up a little living room or whatever there, and that furniture would move around. And, you know, once again, we'd come home, the furniture would be in a weird location, the sofa's on the other side of the room now all of a sudden or whatever. And, we, you know, I think at that point we were just like, somebody's getting in our house. Until one night we heard furniture moving down there. You could hear it going across the floors. So that house was weird. It was really weird. And it's like Eric talking here. You know that the cat can't open the door, can't just walk out. Somebody had to have done it. Now, could one of the kids have done it in the middle of the night? That's my question. Is that possible?
I don't know. It didn't seem possible, like in his voice anyway.
I mean, I would have think, knowing Eric, he would have like ruled out all the obvious things that could have occurred. Mm-hmm. You know. Like maybe one of the kids got up, opened the door, and the cat got out. Maybe the door didn't quite get shut all the way, and the cat was able to, you know, put their paw through and get out. Or is the cat in, you know, in a kennel type situation, and that would be impossible? I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas about whether it's possible for that cat to have gotten out of there. I think the story the night before is interesting, too, because we know Eric. We know Eric has been working on his abilities, and he will, where the rest of us might just flip out and run out of the room because we felt something, he actually stays there and works on communicating with it.
Which is so brave.
So brave, right? Mm-hmm. And so he felt something even before he was standing in the kitchen. And then he goes into the kitchen, turns, you know, has the lights out so he could just communicate with this thing. And it did communicate with him. Mm-hmm. It did, you know, touch him. It did, you know, he felt a hand on him. He felt, you know, the bowl moved, kind of thing. So there was something in the house. I don't know if it still is there or not. He kind of said, did he bring something home with him? You know, he'd been out that day to the store or something, maybe possible.
See, but I think there's something in his house.
That's what I'm wondering, yeah, too.
I'm pretty sure he's had other experiences in that
house.
That
feels very personal.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When something's touching you.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know. So I'm going to go with there's something already in the house. The cat thing, I'm just going to have to say that I think Eric would have ruled out all the obvious things And we can just think that possibly something opened the door and the cat just came on out.
There was some time in my life where that happened, where it was like, where's the dog or the cat? And it was like, how'd they get in there? And then you just attribute it to, oh, well, animals being mm-hmm. animals. But when you really think about it, if the door shut, it shouldn't have opened and shut again.
And the lights on in the room.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know what that was. But thank you for calling in, Eric. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you'd like. No commercials and advanced episodes and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or just go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.